O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart.
Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors.
In whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt.
Who do not lend money at interest and who do not take a bribe against the innocent.
Those who do these things shall never be moved.
Hi, guys. There was a word this morning in our first verse, and it kind of fit right in with my notes I had. And we talked about neighbors, the word neighbor. Now, what TV shows do you guys watch, the educational shows? Is Doc McStuffins something that's educational? Curious George? Paw Patrol? Used to watch it? Mm-hmm. Well, my kids watched a show called Mr. Rogers. You guys probably don't know Mr. Rogers, do you? Yeah.
I think I heard of it.
You probably heard of it. He had a song. It's, "Oh, what a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Oh, won't you please, won't you please? Won't you please be my neighbor?" And that's how he'd start off his show every week. And then you got into the learning things. He had different characters. And there was a lot of lessons there of kindness, how to treat other people, how to treat your neighbor. And he had millions and millions of neighbors. His kids all around the world watched him and would follow along with the lessons that he learned. Well, in today's reading, it's called the Good Samaritan, is in the first part of the verse, and it's about being a good neighbor. And there was a man that was alongside the road, and he was attacked by robbers, and he was beaten, and they took all of his money. They stripped him of his clothes. And they just left him there to die. That's not very neighborly, is it? No. Yeah. And a priest came by and he saw the man. And he crossed on the road. He kind of looked at him and then he just kept on walking away. He didn't stop to help him. That's not a good neighbor at all, is it, Jack? And a little while later, another person came walking by and saw him lying there. And he didn't stop either, just walked on by. They're not very nice, are they? Finally, there is a man from Samaria that came along, and he saw this guy, and is like, wow, this guy needs some help. And you know what he did? He put medicine on his wounds. He wrapped him up with bandages, and then he even took care of him. He took him to a place, to an inn, like a motel or something, or a house, and they took care of him. And the next day, the innkeeper gave this man some money to take care of him. Give him anything he needs, he said. That's pretty good neighbor, isn't it, to do that? Are you guys good neighbors and good to other kids at school and stuff and try to help out if you see that they need help? That's what Christ wants for us. And that's a lot of what is in this story today. The world is full of people that need good neighbors today. We see it everywhere. Every day on the news we see that. And Jesus likes that, because in this verse, Jesus says to this other man he was speaking to, go and do the same. Be a good neighbor. Will you guys pray with me real quick? Echo prayer. Mm-hmm. Dear Jesus, you have taught us to love our neighbor. Help us to be a good neighbor to everyone we meet. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Good morning. I seem a little frazzled. I threw Ella's pin away this morning in the garbage. And thank goodness Linda Lambin came to the rescue and we found it together. So thank you, Linda. I want to talk to you today about safe sanctuaries. Many of you are probably familiar with that term. Some of you may not. And it actually is impacting us here in our church. So I need your help. In general, safe sanctuaries is a policy that the United Methodist Church follows to keep everyone safe within the walls of this church, including our children, adults, and disabled individuals. One of the policies that Alpha United Methodist Church has on the books is the fact that at any time we are meeting with children, there will be two adults present in the classroom. This is a safe policy for our children. It's also a safe policy for our adults. Unfortunately, we live in a time now where it's very litigious, which means that some people are looking for any reason to poke blame at someone. While this is a very good policy that our church has adopted and falls within the safe sanctuaries policy that the global United Methodist Church has, right now we're not in compliance. And I'm coming to you today as the team leader for the Christian Ed team, asking for your help. Currently, our middle school class has one adult during that time. It's not the best place for us to be not compliant with our policy. What we're looking for is another person over the age of 18 that would be willing to be a monitor or someone that would just sit inside the classroom to make sure the adult and the children present are safe. You're not asked to do anything except sit. You don't have to prepare a curriculum. You don't have to feel that you're led with a spiritual gift of teaching. But we would like someone that could be here at 9 o'clock in the morning, stay till probably around 10 o'clock when worship starts. We're hoping that someone today will know someone or they themselves would like to reach out. The middle school class is 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, which have a great time. We have an endless supply of Mountain Dew. So if you're a Mountain Dew lover, this is the class for you. If you are interested in helping us be compliant with this policy, please see me or Pastor Zach afterwards. It's something if you want to think about would be great as well, but it's something that we need to be in a prayerful thought here at the church to make sure that we are keeping our adults and our children safe.
Thank you, Kathy.
Please stand for our gospel reading. And our reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 42. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Thus ends the reading. Please be seated.
Thanks be to God. God, please give me your words. Please give me the mind of Christ and fill my heart with your love in Christ for me and for all of us through your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. So we are now in Lent. And Lent is a season of spiritual preparation. It's a time to look inward at ourselves and our relationships. And we are on a journey together following Jesus. Because as we heard last week with the Transfiguration, that Jesus has fixed his face toward Jerusalem. There's no turning back now. That Jesus told his disciples that he must be rejected by the chief elders and the scribes and the lawyers and the Pharisees, that he must be killed and he will be raised on the third day. That's the mission at Jerusalem that lies ahead of him. And so he calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. And so we gathered together on Ash Wednesday. And I started a new practice. I'm experimenting with this. But there's an insert that was available with the bulletins. And it has kind of a fill in the blanks to follow along with the sermon. But I also have a recap from our last sermon from Ash Wednesday. But I want you to know this. Ash Wednesday, we started our journey to the cross with Jesus. And on this journey to the cross, there are no rearview mirrors on our vehicle. That we have decided to follow Jesus. With the world behind us, the cross before us, no turning back. And so our mantra for Lent as we journey to the cross is that I invite you to decide to follow Jesus today, every day, all the way to the cross. And as we're on this journey to the cross, we face obstacles. We face opponents of the cross. And we need Jesus' help to overcome these obstacles. And as we look and see what Jesus is doing in these scripture stories from Luke's gospel, we can see good news in Jesus, in how he treats people and what he has to say to us and what he says about us or about his disciples or about others or how we're to treat others. And so he will give us opportunities to help us overcome these obstacles on our journey to the cross and even sidestep our opponents of the cross. And the other thing that's good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for you in your life. But it's not only, he is not only good news. Today, you will leave knowing that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives you something that you can do, that you can do what Jesus asked of you. That the gospel is not just for you, but it's a can do in your life. So, our obstacles that we're going to face today. The main obstacle is our pride. It's our prideful preoccupation with ourselves. How many of you ever get caught up in what you're doing? And you're in the room with people, but then you get like an email or something from work, and your mind goes right there, and there's someone who's talking to you, and they call it thubbing now. You've got your phone, and someone's having a conversation. Oh, hold on a second. And then you get on your phone. They've got a name for that. They call it fubbing. That we're so distracted in our culture today, aren't we? We're so distracted. And the world tells us that it's all about us. Well, I have to confess that as I prepared this message this week, I felt so much conviction from the Holy Spirit that there were times I had to take a break and go pray or go call my wife and confess to her or talk to her. That this is not just something I'm preparing for you, but God has been preparing this message for you through me, through making changes in my life. That this is hitting home for me too. So I am stumbling over all of these obstacles that we're going to share in a moment. So we heard the story We heard about the Good Samaritan, and we heard about how this man was beaten and robbed and stripped of his clothes. Can you imagine the indignity of that? Of being blindsided and robbed and stripped of your clothes and left for dead. Left for dead to the point where somebody thinks you might even be dead. You look dead. Well, the Levite and the priest that walked by, they saw him, but they walked to the other side. They went out of their way to avoid him. They must have had somewhere to go. If he was dead, because they were a priest and a Levite, that is, they worked in the temple, they had to be ritually clean. But if someone was dead and you touched the corpse, it was 7 days of ritual impurity. That means you couldn't go to work for 7 days until you were ritually clean again. So it was a great risk for them to even go over there. So they kind of assumed the worst, and they just kept going on to Jerusalem. They might have had the best intention in their heart of doing something and serving God and not wanting something to come between them and their ministry for God. But they missed the heart of God for that man on the side of the road who looked like he might have been dead, but they didn't know if he was dead. See, our first obstacle is our prideful preoccupation with ourselves. Our prideful preoccupation with ourselves and what we're doing. One of my favorite movies is Batman Begins. And Ra's al Ghul says to young Bruce Wayne, always be aware of your surroundings. Mind your surroundings. And out of this preoccupation with ourselves because of our pride, we also can experience our fearful prejudice of others different from us. Prejudice means that you make a judgment before you have all the facts. You assume something about someone, that you label them or you judge them before you know them. So that obstacle is our fearful prejudice of others different from us. And so because they thought he might have been dead, they might have avoided him. But he wasn't dead, was he? They were prejudiced against him. Now, we take that to an extreme in our lives today with prejudice such as racism or sexism or ageism, all these other isms. And those are problems we hear about all the time. But prejudice begins with making a judgment before we have all the facts, before we're mindful of our surroundings, before we see and we try to see and hear and listen. And out of this prejudice for others, if we're not careful, we can be like the Levite and the priest who walked right past the guy who was left for dead, walked to the other side of the room right past him. That we can be self-important cowards. Cowards who fail to show mercy. We can be self-important cowards. Now, cowards is a strong word. If someone called you a coward, you'd be immediately offended, right? Those are fighting words, as Yosemite Sam would say. Well, a coward, in the Latin, the word coward literally means to turn tail and run the other way like a dog. That's what coward means. Cowardice is where you fail to risk suffering in order to do the right thing. So you do the wrong thing and you avoid it. That's what cowardice is being afraid to act when action is needed. Cowardice is kind of like the opposite of compassion, where compassion moves you to show mercy, to act on behalf of another. Cowardice puts self-interest and self-importance ahead of the needs of someone else. It's a defense mechanism. And so one of the things that we can observe that is good news for us in the story today about Jesus is that the lawyer wants to test Jesus. And so he asks him a question. What must I do, teacher, to inherit eternal life? It's not a bad question. What must I do? What should I be doing? And Jesus is like, what's the scripture say? And so he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Ding, ding, ding. He has the right answer, doesn't he? He gives the Sunday school answer, right? But then it says, and wanting to justify himself. that he asked that he said that response because he had an ulterior motive, wanting to justify himself. Wanting to justify himself. He said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? As if neighbors are only mine and not mine. He's trying to see how far he can get. What's the minimum amount before he might go too far and risk himself? Just like the Levite and the priest walked to the other side of the road instead of helping that man on the side of the road. See, Jesus affirms his response, but Jesus questions his motives. He heard, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus questions his motives by telling a parable, by telling a story, by making him think about what he just said. And in this story, Jesus teaches that a real neighbor, this is good news for us, shows mercy for others. Let's say that together. A real neighbor shows mercy for others. And who is the real neighbor in this story? It's the Samaritan, isn't it? The Samaritan who's on his way, who walks to the other side as soon as he sees him to examine and find out what has happened to this man. He's not prejudiced. He's trying to get the facts before he acts and makes a judgment. He's aware of his surroundings. So he goes over and he pours oil on his wounds as medicine and bandages him up. Even if he might be dead, maybe he does CPR. Then he puts him on his own animal because he's traveling. He's traveling from one place to another, so he takes him with him on his journey. That's almost like welcoming him into his home. Takes him to that inn. Tells him, whatever he needs, I'll pay you back. Take care of him. Like he was a family member. He showed mercy for this stranger, this man who he considered his neighbor, and so he showed him mercy as a fellow human being. His agenda didn't trump the needs of this man who could not help himself anymore. So, Jesus shows us that a real neighbor is one who shows mercy for others. Now, there's a second obstacle that comes out of our selfish preoccupation from our pride. Not just prejudice, but it's that when we are anxious and so focused on ourselves and what we're doing, even if we're doing it for God, just like the Levites and the priests, they were doing ministry for God, going to the temple, that Martha was so distracted with what she was doing because the obstacle of our anxious overworking that distracts us from others. And that's the one that hit home for me. As I was working on this sermon, the candle was kind of burning both ways. And I realized, wow, I should be at home right now with my family. That my work for God can be a distraction for me from the people in my life who matter, who is Christ in my life with me through my family. And I just broke down and was crying because I felt so much conviction of that. So this is real. So we don't want to be self-occupied workaholics who neglect our relationships, do we? And so Jesus rebukes Martha for her distraction with her work. She gives the right answer, where she welcomes Jesus as he comes into her home. That's the right thing to do. That's showing hospitality. But then it says Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. Because last week we heard, right, that God said, this is my son, my beloved, listen to him. And here's Mary. She's at Jesus' feet. She's listening. Women weren't even supposed to be disciples of rabbis, and here she is as a disciple of Jesus at his feet, showing him the greatest hospitality she can by listening to him and being present with him. So Jesus rebukes Martha, this is our observation, for her distraction with her work. Her distraction with her work. Because Jesus says, Martha, Martha, And maybe he had to say, Martha, Martha, Martha. I know my wife has to say my name several times sometimes when I'm at home working on things. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by not just one thing, but many things. But Jesus says there is need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. See, as we journey to the cross, I ask you, what is your one better thing that will not be taken away from you? What is that, or who is that in your life that will keep you focused as we journey on the cross together? Who will motivate you to where you're willing to give up everything else for that one thing, that priority in your life? That you can be... So Jesus reassures Mary for her devotion to her guest. And so out of this, we see that while Mary was doing things, or Martha was doing things for Jesus and was so worried about what she was doing for God, Mary was more concerned about being with God. And so when we get burned out from things in our life, from service, from work, from ministry, we need to remember that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. Just like the Good Samaritan was listening to his surroundings and met Jesus in the man who was suffering and was his neighbor and showed mercy. So for us, and this is what I would like you to write down today, our three opportunities and how Jesus is going to help us obey and overcome our obstacles of our pride or fear or anxiety. One, it was the right answer at the beginning. We need to love God with your all. With our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. The second is that you can be a real neighbor moved by compassion. Moved by compassion for others to give mercy. Three, be devoted, not distracted. Be devoted to Jesus. And cultivate an attentive presence. So the reason, this is our objective. This is what we need to do and why we must do it. We must follow Jesus today because people in our life need to experience the compassionate mercy and the holy hospitality, the presence, that attentive presence of Christ crucified in you. That people need to know that Jesus is for them and with them and not against them when you are present with them. Don't let your ministry for Jesus distract you from your devoted presence with Jesus. And don't be afraid to meet the suffering Christ in and with your neighbor. Because this is the good news of Jesus Christ for you and the gospel good news that you can do. That you can be a merciful neighbor and be a devoted friend of Christ. Let's say that together. We can be a merciful neighbor and a devoted friend of Christ. So friends, as we come to this table, I challenge you again to continue to journey with me and with us as the church to the cross where Jesus suffered for you. He died for you and he died for everyone that you knew so that we could all come to the cross together and find our healing and forgiveness in Christ. That you today can decide to follow Jesus today, every day, all the way to the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen. That's what this journey to the cross requires. It demands your soul, your life, your all. Because there's no rearview mirror on this vehicle in our journey to the cross. There's no turning back. And today, know that you can be a merciful neighbor. And as you are a merciful neighbor and showing compassion for others, you are being a devoted friend to Jesus in and with your neighbor. So may the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.